On behalf of Pastor Joe and all of us here at Portland Mount Hope Church, our hope is that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk with Jesus in confidence and in boldness. Check out more of the messages and events happening here at Portland Mount Hope by going to our website at portlandmounthope.org and come join us Sundays at 10 a.m. And now, here is Pastor Joe.
If you'd open your Bibles, turn your phones on to Psalm 34. This message is definitely for somebody today, because I spent so much time this week trying to preach a different message, trying to prepare a different message. And finally, after I was kind of worn out with trying to hit, Lord says, Joe, it seems like you'd get it by now. And so I set that one aside, and as I worked on this one, it just everything flowed. And so I believe this is a very clear message for somebody this morning. I want to talk to you about dealing with disappointment. How many of you have ever had to deal with disappointment in your life? The greater the disappointment, the more difficult it is to deal with it. And disappointment can be a very bitter pill to swallow. I hate, two emotions I really, really hate is frustration. It frustrates me so much to be frustrated. And disappointment, especially when that disappointment is outside of my control. But these things are a part of life. Well, we're going to take a look at King David, who had many, many disappointments in his life, and we're going to learn from him on how he dealt with it. Truth is, David experienced more than his share of disappointments in life. Now, get this. He had a father-in-law that tried to kill him. He had a son that tried to overthrow him. He had a wife that was embittered against him. He had a newborn child that died because of him, because of his sin. And at one point, he had the men who were loyal to him wanting to stone him and kill him. How many would say those are some strong adversities to get through? Now, a few of David's problems were self-inflicted, but many were not. And some of the disappointments we have in life and some of the things that we have to work with can be self-inflicted, but many are not. So we're gonna read from Psalm 34, the first 10 verses, and then we're going to come back and learn from this how David dealt with disappointment. Beginning in verse 1, Psalm 34, David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and rescues them. Verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, and how blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for to those who fear him there is no want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. In these first 10 verses, it reveals two major ways that two things that David did to overcome disappointment in his life and the things that he went through, and I think we'd be wise to learn from him. The first thing that David did, according to these verses, is that he chose to bless God at all times. Verse 1, David says, I will, it was a conscious decision, an act of will, regardless of how he felt. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. How many of you know it's easy to bless God when things are going good? Right? Life is good. Oh, thank you, Jesus. But how about when they're not going so good? If we can only bless God when life is good, then our whole motive for praising God is skewed. We need to bless God and thank God and praise Him for who He is and what He's done, not because we're having a good day. You understand? Because if that is our basis for praising God, and we need to thank Him and praise Him for things that are going good, but if that's our whole basis, that means when we're up and life is good and we're thankful and we're grateful and it's easy to praise Him. But when we're going through that dark valley and life is difficult, then translated, it would mean that He's not really worthy of our praise, or at least we don't praise Him in those times. Understand this, that our motive for blessing God should have everything to do with who He is, not how we're doing or what we're going through. In Hebrews 13:15, it says, "Let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God." A sacrifice of praise. The worse we feel, the more meaningful and beneficial our praise becomes. The worse we feel, the more meaningful and beneficial our praise becomes, because it's sacrificial. There's nothing inside of us that feels like lifting up our hands and worshiping and thanking God, because everything in our life, in those difficult times, we want to have a pity party, we want to feel sorry for ourselves, and we want to be angry and bitter and resentful and all those things. But that sacrifice of praise will help to pull us out of all those things. A sign of spiritual maturity is the ability to bless God at all times, not just when times are good. I'll say that one more time. A sign of spiritual maturity is the ability to bless God at all times. I want to give you a couple huge benefits of blessing the Lord at all times. Number one, it strengthens the soul. David tells us in verse 2, he says, "My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and rejoice." That word boast means to praise and to celebrate and to glorify God. So when we're worshiping God and we're praising Him, we're actually boasting about who our God is. He says, "My soul shall make its boast." What is the soul? It's our mind, right? Our will and our emotions. So when we choose to bless God at all times, it will affect how we think. It will affect our mind and how we think, and that we become more God conscious and less problem conscious. It affects our will and how we act, because we make better choices because we're thinking more clearly. And then it affects our emotions or how we feel, because how many of you know clearer thinking and better choices lead to healthier emotions, right? Clearer thinking and better choices lead to healthier emotions. And choosing in those difficult times to bless God can even change our situation. Remember Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16? They were arrested, they were thrown in the inner prison, and they were put in stocks. What did they do? You read that chapter and you'll find that they murmured, they complained, and they got angry at God. Nope. They started singing hymns and they started worshiping God. It was at midnight. I'm sure all the other prisoners appreciated being woke up. And wouldn't you know it, it must have been pure coincidence that as they chose and making a stand for their faith and being arrested and thrown in the inner prison and put in stocks, and at midnight, probably with rats crawling all around them, they choose to praise and to worship God. And wouldn't you know it, right at that moment, what a coincidence that an earthquake happens. an earthquake in such a nature that it throws open their door to their cell, and it releases them from the stocks that they're in. What a weird, quirky kind of earthquake. How many believe that that wasn't a coincidence? And let me tell you this, that if we find ourselves in the crushed with disappointment, even if worshiping God and that sacrifice of praise doesn't change our situation, it will change our attitude and the view of our situation. Now, I'm not talking Tiger relief pitching, blowing another ball game type of disappointment, all right? Which happened again last night. I'm talking about major, major disappointments in life. You know, maybe the unexpected loss of a job or a relationship not working out, and you know, you can fill in the blank. Sandy Platy, Hillary's wife, is in the hospital and with respiratory issues, so we want to be praying for Sandy. We were over there last Friday night for dinner, and they were telling us that this coming Thursday, which was this past Thursday, Hillary is going in Thursday morning for hand surgery. And then Sandy, who's really has some health issues, was going to try to take a trip with her sisters down to Memphis and Nashville, and maybe even her last trip with her sisters. And they've been planning this for 2 years. 2 years. So, come Thursday morning, Sandy goes with Hillary to the St. Lawrence campus of Sparrow to get support him in getting his hand operated on. And then she starts getting the shakes really bad, and a nurse comes over. Bottom line, Hillary's going in for surgery while Sandy's being transported by ambulance to the main Sparrow campus, which she's been in there for the last 2 or 3 days. And I was up there last night, and I said, Sandy, because I know how forward she was looking to, she was looking to go in with her sisters to Memphis and Nashville. And if you know Sandy, you know she plans these things far out in advance, and she's just all about family. And I said, I'm so sorry that you weren't able to go. And she smiles. She says, I'm just so grateful and so thankful to God that it didn't happen while I was on the road. She says, I was actually sitting in a hospital with my husband when all this happened. I'm so thankful for that. How many of us could have been thankful? Here, a trip, a crushing disappointment, but yet she chose to sacrifice a praise, and her whole attitude was, I'm grateful, I'm thankful, rather than being angry at God or anybody else that got in her way. And that just, I thought, thanks, Sandy, that's a really good illustration for the sermon tomorrow. I want to be like that. Because, you know, truth is, we're all going to go through disappointments. We're going to plan and strategize and look forward to. Then sometimes those things will fall through. And, oh, the disappointment can be so harsh and so, so devastating. Well, when those things happened to David, he chose a sacrifice of praise. But the second benefit of blessing the Lord at all times, not only does it strengthen our soul, our mind, and our will, and our emotion, and it affects our attitude and our outlook and just everything about us, the second benefit is that it inspires others. Have you ever seen somebody go through a very, very difficult time, but yet they were going through it with a smile on their face? They were... And you just stood back and go, wow. You know, I'm doing that with Sandy right now. And it inspires me to see how she's handling this. And so many of you over the years have inspired me to see how you've handled difficulties and disappointments in your life. We don't always realize that, that people are inspired by our walk of faith, but so many can be. And David was so encouraged by his own experience that he wanted to share it with others. In verse 3, he said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Paul and Deb, come magnify the Lord with me. Come on, let us exalt his name together, because what it did for me, I want it to do for you guys, and for you, and for you, and for all of us. When we gather together, and man, I hope we view worship as a time to come. Let's just magnify the Lord, rather than let's get through this part of it so we can hear the sermon, so we can go home, and so we can get coffee, you know, then go home. David wanted others to experience the strengthening of the soul that he experienced when he would offer up that sacrifice of praise. And every Sunday we have that opportunity to strengthen our soul and to be an inspiration to others. You know, because some of us had good weeks and it comes in us easy to praise God. But some of us come in with devastating weeks. You know, and part of us counts it a victory that we even got out of bed to come. But when we stand and our hands are raised in worship and we're offering that sacrifice of praise, and those close to us know what we've been through that week, I tell you what, it inspires and it encourages those around us. So every Sunday we have that opportunity to strengthen our soul together in worship. You know what? We may come to church feeling beaten down, discouraged, disappointed, but it's our fault if we leave feeling that way. You understand what I'm saying? Hope that doesn't sound harsh. But when we come, we offer that sacrifice of praise, and God, here I am. Expect God to meet with you in a way that will encourage and inspire you as well as those around you. So choose this week, as you go throughout your week, choose to bless the Lord at all times and see if it doesn't change your perspective on your day, your life, your situation. So that's the first thing David did, was that he chose to bless the Lord at all times. The second thing that David chose to do was that he chose in the midst of it to seek God. In verse 4, he says, "I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord." How many of you know that God wants to be pursued by us? He loves it when we take initiative and come after him. You know why? Because initiative shows interest. In any relationship, if one person is always taking the initiative and the other person never takes it, that's going to become a very lopsided relationship. The person always taking the initiative is going to wonder at some point in time, does this other person have any interest at all in this relationship? God loves it when we take the initiative to hunt him down. Jeremiah 29, 13 and 14, God says, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, declares the Lord." When I know that you are really interested in finding me and in hanging out with me, I'll make sure that you find me. But you know what? The question is, why do we want to find him? Have you ever been used before by somebody? Oh, doesn't that hurt? Doesn't that sting? Man, they snuggle up to you and they befriend you only to find out that they wanted something from you. And the moment that they get it, they're gone. So the truth was, they weren't really interested in you. They are interested in what you had to offer to them. You with me? Does that sound familiar? How many of us approach God, "God, I need this, I want that, you got to help me with this, Why didn't you help me over here? We get angry at God. How dare us? And God all the while is saying, is that the only reason you want to draw near to me? He said, come close to me. It delights my heart to know that you just want to hang out with me. And I'll make sure you find me. In Matthew 6:33, it says, seek first the kingdom of God. And all these other things, all the needs that we have in life, God will make sure he takes care of on our behalf. But God delights, he's interested when we take the initiative to draw near to him, just to be with him. And rest assured, he cares even more about our problems and disappointments than what we do. So when we initiate drawing near to God, let's do it because we want to hang out with him. Think if the only time your kids or grandkids wanted to be around you is if they wanted something from you, and the minute they got it, they're gone. After a while, wouldn't, as a parent or a grandparent, wouldn't you start resenting that just a little bit? I'm not saying God resents that with us. But I'm saying that there's a higher purpose to take initiative to draw near to God. And all these other things he'll make sure are taken care of in our life. So let me give you quickly a few benefits to seeking the Lord. Can we turn the air on? I think get someone to turn the air conditioning on. Five benefits to seeking the Lord I want to share with you. Number one is that of answered prayer. Verse 4, he says, I sought the Lord and he answered me. Prayer is a vital part of seeking God. And it's far more than just asking God for things. All right? Because most people, when we think of prayer, we think, okay, God, and we give them our laundry list of what we want and what we need. But let me tell you some other things of what prayer is. Prayer is listening, it's waiting, it's worshiping, and it's just hanging out in his presence. Now, that might seem like a strange concept to you. How many of you just love to hang out with your kids and your grandkids? And I mean, I'm heaven on earth when one of my grandkids are in my lap. We're not talking all the time. That we're just hanging out together. Doesn't get much better than that. One of the most important things that you and I can do for ourselves is to develop a strong prayer life. Right, Jamie? Prayer empowers us, it enlightens us, it encourages us, and it emboldens us. So let me ask you this. In your spiritual walk, are you empowered? Are you enlightened? Are you encouraged? Are you emboldened? If prayer gives us those things and you're not experiencing those things, ask yourself why. If you can't figure it out, come talk to me. But understand that one benefit of seeking the Lord is that of answered prayer. I sought the Lord and he answered me. God knows the things on our hearts. He knows the things that have broken our heart, and he knows the depths of our disappointment and our discouragement and our despair. And when we hang out with God and just take the time to delight in his presence, he addresses those things in our life. How many of you, if you had your child come and you knew that your child was very troubled and you had the means to somehow help bring strength and comfort to that child, would you not do it? I mean, our God is a loving father more than any loving earthly parent could be. So when we just say, God, I just want to hang out with you, man, I just feel wiped out, I'm just frustrated, and God, you know my hurt and my pain, and Lord, can I just hang out with you? And we just delight in his presence. Put on some worship music, I love instrumental worship music. And just hang out. Pretty soon, you're going to feel that weight starting to lift. You're going to feel the pain starting to lessen. Oh, there's so much more to prayer than just asking God for things. But that's the first benefit of seeking the Lord is answered prayer. Two, the second benefit of seeking the Lord is the calming of fears. David continues in verse 4. He says, I sought the Lord and he answered me and he delivered me from all my fears. The result of David seeking God was a deliverance from all of his fears. And if you knew anything about David's life, you knew that he had plenty to fear. But yet somehow when David would spend time seeking God and just hanging out in his presence, his fears would begin to diminish, and he understood the power of God's protection in his life. And I tell you what, we cannot underestimate the power of God's protection. I believe that we walk in according to his will and plans and purposes, that there's just God's protection is on us. Doesn't mean we won't have challenges in life, but we can walk emboldened knowing that God's got our back. Years and years ago, I was getting threats from someone in a satanic coven. And at first, when I first got it, it instilled fear in me. But as I worked through this whole process, a couple things. I came to believe so strongly in the power that's in the blood of Jesus Christ. But also I came to believe that God will not allow anything to happen to me outside of his will. And that fear completely diminished. And God gave me a boldness and a confidence to stand. And this individual had, in other churches, chased off a couple of pastors because they sought to intimidate. And it was intimidating at first. But I tell you what, when you know if God is for us, who can be against us, right? And it is so possible to walk in a peace that surpasses all understanding, regardless of the storm that is swirling around you. And because of David's relationship with God, God delivered him from all of his fears. David had peace in the midst of his problems, tranquility in the midst of his turmoil. And the good news is that God wants to calm our fears, the fears that we deal with in life, if given the opportunity. He wants to deliver us from the fear of lack. You know, we live in a culture of abundance, but yet many live with this fear of lack and not having enough and running out of money. He wants to deliver us from the fear of failure that imprisons us and doesn't allow us to, you know, to take bold steps forward and to try new things. He wants to deliver us from the fear of rejection, the pain of someone not embracing you relationally. He wants to deliver us from the fear of the future, that paralyzes us from watching the news and even staying somewhat abreast on what's happening in the world. You know, we want to just stick our head in the sand and pretend everything's okay. He wants to deliver us from the fear of man. Boy, I can't stand up to this person. I can't be who I am, because if I am, then they're going to reject me or they're going to mock me or ridicule me. And he especially wants to deliver us from the fear of death. Because for the Christian, there really is no death, right? It's just a transition from this life to the next. Promotion, if you will. So if you have fear in your life, understand that God wants to completely deliver you of it, and that will happen as we spend time seeking Him. The third benefit of seeking the Lord is that of the removal of shame. In verse 5, it says, they looked to Him and were radiant, and their faces will never. Everybody say never. Their faces will never be ashamed. That radiance indicates a transparency, an intimate relationship with Christ, one that is free from shame and guilt of past sins. Have you ever remember as a kid when you did something that you knew you were going to get in trouble for, and you would conveniently go where mom and dad weren't. You knew reckoning day was going to come sooner or later, but you avoided it as long as you could. And there was no transparency. You were hiding, just like Adam and Eve. All right? Hey, I was a kid, so I know what it is, you know. We all did it to some degree, I would imagine, right? Okay, all right. But with, imagine, you know, God knows everything about us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And to come into His presence and to seek Him, you know, the devil would say, oh, yeah, what about? And before you know it, we're too ashamed to want to, I can't go before God. That day of reckoning will come, or He's, you know, we feel too guilty to go in God's presence. That's where we have to understand that there is no condemnation for those in Christ. A healthy relationship with Christ removes any shame that the world would try to put on us, that the devil would try to put on us. You know, for those of you who've been a Christian for any length of time, and you came across somebody from your past life, did they have a hard time believing that you were different? You know, and oh, no, you couldn't have changed because you were this or you were that. And they tried to put that back on you. Say, well, that's what I was, but that's not what I am anymore. And even the world today in our changing culture wants to make us feel guilty for being men and women of faith. Yes, we stand for purity. We stand for holiness. We stand for godliness. Well, you're narrow-minded. You're judgmental. And they try to shame us into thinking the way they think rather than what the Bible teaches. And I love what Paul said in Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. The bottom line is the world wants to shame the Christian for our godly values. Stand up and be strong in your faith. When we are close to the Lord, that makes it easy to do. The fourth benefit of seeking the Lord is that of deliverance from trouble. Verse 6, David said, this poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Many times in David's life, God delivered him from troubles and attacks. And actually, the motivation behind this psalm was that he faked being crazy and being mad before a king to escape with his life. So he understood what it was to be in trouble and to have God save him out of those troubles. I tell you, when we do things God's way, we can walk in His blessing and His protection. Again, Paul said it well in Romans 8:31, if God's for us, who's against us? Now understand this, that biblical obedience to the best of our ability will spare us from a lot of self-inflicted problems. Biblical obedience to the best of our ability will spare us from a lot of those self-inflicted problems and disappointments. Final point I want to bring up today is this. The fifth benefit of seeking the Lord is that of a wanting for nothing. Verse 10 says, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Understand this, that incredible contentment comes to those who faithfully seek God. Paul, with all of his responsibilities, all of his problems, all of his challenges, as much as he was persecuted, lived in great contentment. He said in Philippians 4, verse 11, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I've learned to be content. Let me ask you this. Today, May 7th, 2017, are you content with your life? Do you live with a great sense of contentment? Or is there a restlessness that you have? Is there something that you want? Boy, only if I could get this car, this truck, or this house, or if I could get this job, then I'd be happy, then I'd be content. Understand this, that walking with God gives a contentment to life that fills us so completely that we really don't need the things that the world has to offer. Now, we need vehicles to drive here, that type of a thing. But the world is so much of it is based on what they want and what they can get to determine how satisfied they're going to be with life. There's such a contentment and a satisfaction that we can have in life that whether we're driving a new car or an older car, it doesn't matter. I got a pickup that has rusts all around it. I think the body's going to wear out before the motor, because the motor only had a little over 100,000 miles on it, but the body looks like it has about 200,000 or 300,000 miles on it. My door, I went to unlock my door the other day in my truck, and the lock that the key slips into went. it's somewhere in my door. So I can't lock my door, and sometimes when I go to close it, that little catch in the door frame, you know, to bend, goes like this, and it bangs it. So I carry a screwdriver. So when that happens, I take a screwdriver and I lift it up, and then I can close it. And a lot of times when I close the door, I can see air. I can see sky. You know, I thought about getting a new truck and a different truck, and I'm going to drive that sucker for all it's worth. It's paid for. It's been paid for about 8 or 10 years, and I don't need a new truck. Would I like one? Yeah. And if the right deal came along, maybe I'd pull the trigger. But all the while, every month I can put a little bit more in the savings account so that when I find that right truck, when that time comes, I can either pay for it in cash or almost in cash. Would it be nice to have a new truck? Yeah. Do I want one? Is my life devastated because I don't have the truck I want? Not a chance. You know, I woke up this morning with the same truck I had yesterday. The sun still rose. Jesus is on the throne. And the Tigers blew another save. So so all is good as it should be in the world. So understand, walking with God gives us contentment that fills us so completely that we don't have to have the things that the world needs to feel fulfilled and content. I don't need to go out and get high or drunk anymore. I don't need all the lustful things or the materialistic things that the world offers to feel like my life is complete and fulfilled. So let me wrap it up with this. My final thought is this. How many would agree that disappointments in life are inevitable? But how many would also agree that how we handle them are optional? I hope today I gave you just a couple of things that you could do when you experience disappointments and heartbreaks. And again, I'm not talking about the little disappointments of a ball game, or I'm talking about the major disappointments in life that broadside you and can knock you off your game, so to speak. David chose to bless God, and he chose to seek God at all times. And it's most meaningful and most effective for us when we do it in those times of crushing disappointment. We would be wise to follow David's example. And I want to close in prayer, and I would like those of you who are dealing with some type of crushing disappointment in your life, that it's just hard to kind of get past, or you're in the midst of the raw, painful emotion of it. I would just like you to stand, and we're just going to pray that God would just begin to minister to you in a way that would give you hope and would excite you. So let's bow our heads in prayer. So if that's you, I'm just going to ask you to stand right now. That you're trying to work through a disappointment, and you say, Pastor, I love God, and I needed this message, but I want to pray for you in a way that hope will just kind of let you leave with some momentum. Father, I thank you for those who are standing this morning. Lord, that they're dealing with disappointments in their life. Father, I pray that you would strengthen them by your grace, by your mercy, through your Holy Spirit. Father, to bless you at all times. Lord, that their focus would not be on the source of that disappointment, but their focus would be upon you, that the more that they bless you and worship you in these difficult times, that the bigger you would become and the smaller that disappointment would be. And Lord, as they worship you, put within their heart that desire to know you, not for what they can get from you, but to know you, to seek you and to draw near to you. Father, let them delight in your presence, just as a young child delights in the presence of their loving parent. Let them delight in your presence. And we know that you are a loving Father, and that you care about even the smallest needs in our life. You care about the smallest disappointments, let alone the large crushing ones. And Father, just give them what they need: hope, strength, courage, boldness, tenacity, peace. Whatever it is they need, Father, to walk in victory and get the victory over these disappointments. Help them to be faithful in that painful season. Give them the hope of coming out the other side with sweet victory. And we'll be sure to give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. We ask all these things in Jesus' name.